John Corzine goes under the hot lights.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. Today, John Corzine goes back to the Senate. This time, instead of asking the questions, he'll be answering for the collapse of brokerage firm MF Global. Corzine was the CEO of the company and is accused of taking huge risks on European bonds. Now MF Global is missing hundreds of millions of dollars. Heidi Moore reports.
For most of his career, John Corzine took the kinds of risks that paid off big. He made his name trading government bonds at Goldman Sachs, became the firm's CEO, and then wrestled the secretive bank into going public. Roy Smith was a partner at Goldman and saw Corzine in action.
Well, he took large risks when he was at Goldman Sachs, without any question.
Corzine left Wall Street to be a U.S. senator and a one-term governor of New Jersey. Then last year, he joined MF Global, a small commodities brokerage. As CEO, he pushed it to take big risks on European bonds with its own money. Goldman might have been able to absorb those losses, but MF wasn't. Corzine's lucky streak ended.
I was concerned that, you know, he was walking into a firm that had no experience, really, of dealing in the kind of risk-taking that he wanted them to take.
And it was likely Corzine was a little rusty.
He'd been out of the game for about 10 years, and this is a very difficult game to leave for such a long time. Very hard to just go away for 10 years and come back and assume everything is the same.
The biggest issue in MF Global's collapse is over $1 billion of lost customer money. It shouldn't have been betting with that. Gerald Celenti was an MF Global client who's hunting for his lost cash. He thinks Corzine got a pass because of his reputation.
If any broker did what John Corzine allegedly did, boy, those SWAT teams would be there, you know, and they'd be breaking down the doors and arresting him, but not John Corzine.
Corzine's fall from grace is like a Shakespearean tragedy, says Paul Argenti, a professor at Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business.
You know, just hearing about what he was like when he was at Goldman Sachs versus what we see now, it's kind of scary.
Corzine's former colleagues in the U.S. Senate know they'll face backlash if they go easy on him today. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
In European debt crisis news, all eyes are on the European Central Bank this morning. It's expected to cut interest rates to try and spur borrowing and lending and get Europe's economy growing again. As for Europe's single currency, the euro, it's likely to need a bailout from the International Monetary Fund. The IMF was set up during World War II to help stabilize the global financial system. A lot of its money comes from the U.S., and now some in Congress worry American taxpayer money is at risk. John Dimsdale reports.
The U.S. is historically the biggest contributor to the IMF, with a share of about $65 billion. In 2009, reacting to international financial turmoil, the U.S. contributed $107 billion more. Republican Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers is sponsoring legislation to withdraw that extra credit line so taxpayers aren't on the hook.
We're also broke. So we're borrowing money from China, in essence, to help bail out the European Union countries.
If the IMF lends to European countries, could they default? Ted Truman at the Peterson Institute for International Economics says no contributor to the IMF has ever lost money.
The International Monetary Fund is a preferred creditor in the whole international financial system, so that means it always gets paid first. So the level of risk is essentially zero.
Truman says a pullback of U.S. support for the IMF would cause a collapse of the international financial system. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
News that the European Central Bank is poised for action has markets on an upswing this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.25%. Germany's DAX is up 0.6%. U.S. markets were mixed yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.3% to close at 12,196. The Food and Drug Administration ruled yesterday that the controversial Plan B morning after pill should be available without a prescription to young women. The Obama administration's top health official nixed the plan, though, saying she didn't believe lifting that restriction was necessary. Plan B is currently kept behind the counter at pharmacies, and you have to be at least 17 to get it without a prescription.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. by Reputation.com. Monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Costco reports earnings a little later today, and other retailers will be watching. The wholesale warehouse chain is expected to see higher profits, but it's not just the size of those profits, or the size of Costco's stores, that interests other retailers. Sally Herships has more.
If you really want to understand the U.S. retail industry, there are three stores whose aisles you should browse.
Walmart, obviously.
Along with Amazon and Costco. This, according to Jeff Weidauer at Vestcom International. It's a marketing company for the retail industry. Weidauer says Costco's 596 stores are a great indicator of where lots of different products are likely to see growth.
They're buying milk, they're buying eggs, they're buying diamond rings.
Barry Berman teaches business at Hofstra University. Berman says smart retailers try to emulate Costco.
It's a firm, you know, you want to look at and see what they're doing and see what they're doing right.
One strategy from the superstore, opportunistic buying, looking for goods at the lowest possible price.
They only want a 17% profit margin because they want you coming back.
But other stores want your business too, which is why they may be looking carefully at Costco today. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, Norway is suffering from a butter shortage thanks to low milk production this year and a low-carb fad diet that swept the country. Butter is now being sold as a gift at Christmas markets in Norway and costs up to $20 a pound. The Marketplace Midday Update is free. It's a podcast with all the best stories from the Morning Report, plus some extra stuff you won't get anywhere else. Download it at marketplace.org or on iTunes. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Billionaire Eli Broad made his money in real estate. He's a bigwig in the art world, and he has big thoughts and big money to spend about remaking American schools.
I'm not sure that some of the things you learn in the world of business or in government or other nonprofits can't be applied to education.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. What kind of return do you get on education philanthropy? The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.